This is the news according to me. It is January 6th, 2021. And waking up to a very interesting reality. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing and sharing this podcast. It's going to be a bit of a melancholy, not so funny one today. Once again, thanks for being with us. And it just amazes me that we're reliving something, you know, on a macro scale that we saw on November 3rd. Last night as I went to bed, I unfortunately looked at a few news broadcasts and looked at a few things that were being said, trying to dig into some of the issues on this rule change that was going on between Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi in the House and in the Senate. So I was furious last night. And I was absolutely incensed by what I was hearing. Apparently the rules change. Pardon me while I take a sip of dark chocolate, hot chocolate drink here. It's dark chocolate, not just regular hot chocolate with creamer in it, because I need to indulge. Because I need to keep myself calm and cool, collected. Realize that there's more to life than this craziness that we're seeing. I want to be very careful about what I say this morning, because, you know, this is January 6th. It's the morning of the march on the Capitol, and I applaud everyone who's doing that. If I could, I would be there. I'm not exactly sure at this point what purpose it's going to serve. I honestly don't think that today is going to go well. Somehow, by the end of the day today, I believe that this nation will have changed. If they do get this delay, if they manage to somehow get this delay pushed through. I've looked at this in every way possible. Every way possible in terms of what the true outcome could possibly be. See, everything that is proposed will have to go to a vote. Well, we know how the vote is going to go in the House, because there's not one Democrat that will vote for anything to stop this election. I'm talking about stopping the election, just to examine this election. To take 10 days to look at the irregularities. There's also nothing from the Republican side that leaves me with any belief that they are truly interested in getting to the bottom of this and finding out once and for all if there was fraud or not. I'm not talking about widespread voter fraud. I'm talking about fraud, enough fraud in certain areas, key places, that would have switched the election. And I'm not even talking about the voodoo stuff with the Dominion machines, but that's another topic we'll get to in just a little bit, about last night's election. So this morning, I wake up, and Kelly Loeffler looks like she has lost. She's not conceding, but Warnock, of all people, of course, we went to bed last night. She was ahead by 1 point, just over, it was like 1.1. And this morning we wake up and she's lost. She's behind by about a half a point. We'll talk about what happened last night. Purdue is still hanging on by a thread. It's just too close to call, and apparently what I've heard is that Ossoff is ahead of him. Barely. You assume there's going to be recounts, but what good is that going to do? We already know that that's bogus. Because you're recounting, well, we'll get into that. That's calming. Yeah, because I need it. Last night I found out that the rules change as near as I can tell. The debate that's going to happen after they contest the... And I wish I had recorded this. Matt Gaetz actually did a very good report on this, and I don't think I recorded it. I'd play it back, but I didn't have that done. I was too mad to do anything. Matt Gaetz had a report that basically they've changed the rules in the House. That actually, while I'm talking, I'm going to see if I can see if I can pull this up, because it really is pertinent. And I don't know if anything's going to change just because of what he said last night. I think this may be it right here. So Matt Gaetz last night says that...
We're seeing tens of thousands of our fellow Americans pouring into Washington, D.C., and I have to tell you, I wish we had a little more of that fighting spirit here inside the halls of Congress. Levin on your show just talked about the serious constitutional issues that are impacting the validity of the vote in Michigan and Wisconsin, but as I give you this report tonight, we do not have senators willing to object to the electors in Michigan or Wisconsin or Nevada, where you saw a lot more of the transient vote where people had left the state, but were still casting votes in the state of Nevada. So we may only have 180 precious minutes tomorrow to make our case that there was real voter fraud, a case that the media says we can't possibly make. And Sean, here is the disturbing news that I have to share with you based on the negotiations we've just been having with Republican leadership. Republican leadership is contemplating taking the 1 hour we have to present our objections on each state and giving part of that time away to Republicans who don't support the objections. And so that means that all the Democrats will be fighting against us, and then we'll be using our own time that we should be using to fight for election integrity to divide among Republicans who have a different view. I don't think that's unified teamwork. I wish we had senators like Senator Cruz, who was just on your show, willing to offer objections in Michigan and Wisconsin for the reasons that Levin mentioned, but also in Nevada.
I just want to end it there. I want to get right to it. The Senate leadership, we're just talking about Mitch McConnell, is talking about giving time to senators who object to the objection. So not only are you going to give time to the Democrats to present their side, and it's all going to be, objections at all. All that's going to be objection. They want to give time to senators who want to pile on, basically. I don't know. It infuriates me. And I'm not sure exactly why. They've got enough senators. They got 12 senators. I thought it only took one senator to object to a state's election. So why is there no one stepping up to the plate to object to Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada? This infuriates me on so many levels, in so many levels. One is this is turning into what looks like it's probably just a show. And here's the reason. This is all supposition, and it's just the way I think things have played out behind the scenes. Because I know how these politicians are. I've been around for, almost 60 years. pointed out yesterday that I've lived through 11 presidents. I've always kind of watched politics, but never really been involved too much, other than just to have opinions. Recognized very early on as a youngster, kind of I had good schooling going through grade school, learned a lot of good things about the foundation of the country and the reasons for why it was founded. But I really, really didn't catch on until about, late 90s. Started to kind of wake up to this whole thing of liberty and all that stuff that's going on and the premise of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and what it was all founded on. So having said all that, what we are seeing here is a Republican Party, the establishment, that just wants to get back to the status quo. Just wants to go back to normal. Business as usual. Let's just put all this behind us. Let's get rid of it as quickly as we can. The American people will forget about it in 3 weeks anyway, so who cares? That's what they think. I've got news for the Republican Party. I've always voted Republican. Yeah, I haven't always agreed with everybody, but I've always thought it was the choice to make. You've lost my vote. Completely. You've lost my vote. And I don't care if there's nobody to vote for, then I'm just not going to vote. I don't care how much money you spend on campaigning. It's not going to buy my vote. And that's all a scam, too. That whole campaign financing thing, the whole campaign funding thing is just another slosh bucket of money that they can play with. It's just infuriating. Because they have no understanding that this is the foundation of our nation we're watching being just washed away. And a lot of people talk about 9/11, how, you know, Tower 1 and 2 came down. And everybody talks about Tower 7, how it came down. Well, I've talked to people who were actually there. And they understand why Tower 7 came down. And when you hear their explanation of it, it makes perfect sense. Well, our nation right now is very representative of Tower 7. The whole bottom end of it, the whole foundation is gone and it's hanging on by one side. It is about to come down. I think what we see today will be very telling in terms of, one, what our politicians do. And really, every way I've seen this play out, I was getting back to that again. Every scenario I have worked through in my mind and how this is going to come out, as far as that's if there's nobody that busts through the walls and changes, you know, some kind of civil war breaks out, that throws a whole different wrench into everything. What do I think that's going to happen? I doubt it, but I think that there are some people who are maybe planning on some things. There may be something, a skirmish, a little uprising, a little snap and pop, not even a firecracker. But and of course the left will use that as an excuse to just bring the hammer down on anybody who owns a gun. I'm sure that's going to happen today. And even if it could just be a provocateur. I'm not even convinced that it will be anybody from the Trump side. It's just going to be somebody that's embedded in them that will be willing to you know, do that for the cause, so that they could have a reason to blame everybody. They've already started blaming Trump supporters. I've seen it in the news. Trump supporters get into skirmishes with the police. Well, that whole story is yet to be told, too, because it sounds like there was some instigation going on that happened there. So, and then of course there's the whole, I can say the word Proud Boys on this podcast, because on YouTube they can't say it, or else it's a red flag. Because Proud Boys has been considered as a white supremacist group. So this white supremacist by the name of Enrique Torre, I'm not sure if I pronounce his name correctly or not. I think his last name's Torre. Enrique shows up in D.C., gets arrested because he had at one time burned a BLM flag, which is considered a hate crime. And then they mysteriously, you know, he flew in. He gets off the plane, and apparently they find two high-capacity magazines. For those, that's not magazines with pictures in it, guys. That's magazines are used. Some people call them clips. They're not clips. Magazines are what's used for a rifle or a handgun. I think in this case it was for a rifle. Now, first of all, he's traveling by airplane. And I'm not sure whether he had those. He didn't have them in his carry-on, I guarantee you that. So did he check bags? Did he have them in his check bag? Did he declare them? I don't know. You know, did they have any ammo in them? If they did, or if they didn't, doesn't really matter. What good is a magazine without a gun? So are there guns there that he's planning on taking these things to? Was he taking them there for somebody else to give? Well, you know, what was the purpose of carrying around high-capacity magazines? Was he going to throw them at somebody? Was he going to use those to hit somebody over the head with? I mean, they're probably made out of plastic or some kind of cheap metal. They're not. So I don't know what that was all about. But there's some speculation that they may have been planted on him. And that's, I have, whether it was by the feds that planted them on him or somebody else, that's, at this point, I'm not going to say that that's not plausible. Certainly plausible, and it's certainly possible at this point. I'm not saying I support the Proud Boys. What I do support is their right to free speech, their right to exist, and I'm not going to join them. Now, we may end up finding ourselves on the same side, but right now we kind of are on the same side in terms of philosophically of where we stand with what's happening with the government. Now, I'm not a member, and I'm not planning to be. I don't know that much about them. I don't need to know that much about them. The tough side of this whole thing is at the end of the day, after playing out all of the different scenarios that I can think of, this day really, in terms of what happens in Congress today, really hangs on the decisions that Mike Pence makes. Now, Mike Pence was my governor here in Indiana for a long time. I've seen him stand up to some people that you would consider to be establishment types. I saw him stand against, and this is from his character, not just from his political standing. And I think that that's what Trump saw in him when he picked him for his VP. I don't think that Trump was going to pick just anybody for his VP. And he watches the news. He watches what goes on. He picked him for a very specific, for a reason. And I think it was because he saw the character, the integrity of his fabric that was there. Now, Trump has come out recently. Trump kind of made it sound like there was kind of some disagreement going on between him and Pence. That maybe there was this rift between the two of them. Of course, CNN and MSNBC and also the legacy, what I call the legacy media, Trump, what Rush would call the drive-by media, said that there was this big rift between the two of them, that they were not getting along well. So that looked like they're not even talking to each other. Well, Trump made that very clear that they are talking, and that there's nothing going on between the two of them as far as there may be some disagreement about what happens tomorrow or today with regard to the chamber. Mike Pence presides over the Senate. He is the president of the Senate. A lot of people, when they hear people in the Senate and they'll hear the sound bite, and they'll say, "Mr. President," this and that. They're not talking to the president of the United States. They're talking to the president of the Senate when they say that. So he's presiding over the Senate. Now, he sees his role as more of a ceremonial thing where he just opens up the envelopes and passes them to the clerk. The clerk counts them, then he reads the results. However, Jenna Ellis, one of the president's, I don't think it's his personal attorney. I think it's a campaign attorney or it's a White House attorney. I don't know where she falls in the bucket there, but she represents Trump. It's on some level, has very clearly spelled, and I have a lot of respect for her. She knows what she's doing. In fact, I would say she may not have the experience that Sidney Powell does, but she definitely has, I would say, on as far as her skill level or her ability to comprehend, her aptitude for legal issues, I'd say is just as sharp, if not sharper, than Sidney Powell. And she has come out and said that there is a path for Mike Pence to the vice president to use his power to delay the counting of the votes, which is really all we need at this point to bring about some kind of a turn in this whole thing. Now, I don't know if it's going to do any good. And here's the reality of it. Here's the reality that I think is, for me, it's kind of soaking in, and it's always kind of been there. I've always been kind of a realist, and I do have hope in the process, and I still have hope in God somehow coming through in this midst of this whole thing. And there's been some estimation. In my opinion, I know that President Trump is a bit of a proud man, and there's nothing, he's got some ego, and that kind of gets in his way sometimes. And I think he overestimates people around him he's very much an optimist, which I appreciate the fact that he's got some positive attitude towards things and doesn't give up on things. I appreciate that. That's a good thing. Good character. Good quality to have. However, he does have some ego issues I'm one to talk. It's the pot calling the kettle black. I'm not saying I'm better than him at all. I think that's where I get so disgusted by some people in the Republican side is that they pretend like their poop doesn't stink. And I'm more appalled by that than I am by someone who says some things that maybe considered rash or inappropriate. Self-righteousness is one of the most filthy things before a holy God. And there's a reason for that. It's because, and I'm going to get spiritual and religious here for just a minute. God paid a tremendous price. Tremendous price so that we could be called holy and be able to enter into his presence. If you can, for a moment, think about a man hanging on a cross after being beaten, rocked, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, blasphemed, and then nailed to a cross. And that was all the punishment he was taking, was the punishment we deserved. Punishment I certainly deserved. He took all of that on that cross. And for me, to somehow think that I'm going to be good, I'm going to do some good works and God's going to approve of me for that, or he's going to think more of me, or somehow I'm going to get favor with God somehow because I do something good or right, or because I'm a good person. If I'm looking at the cross and thinking that I'm going to add something to what Jesus did on that cross for me, that is the biggest affront to God there could ever be. You can go out and commit the most heinous sin. And yeah, that's a stench in God's nose. But I'm going to tell you something that's even worse. is thinking that you're going to add something to what he did on the cross by calling yourself righteous or being extolling your virtues and your goodness. Because you can't call yourself good outside of what he did on that cross, outside of the blood that was shed for you. That's the right we have to call ourselves good, is that covering of blood. Having said all of that, I see the Republican Party being this pompous, self-righteous bunch who thinks that Trump is disgusting and that they just want to put this behind them, that this is just a bad moment in time, a bad memory. Oh yeah, we had some good times there for a few years. So we'll see what happens today. We'll see what happens. This whole thing hangs on Pence and what ends up happening. Now, because from what I understand, Ted Cruz wants this 10-day delay. My understanding is that has to be voted on by the Senate. Do you think the Senate's going to do that? We have an issue right now, and I'm going to get into it a little bit here as I'm starting to run out of time. I'd like to keep this morning show down to 30 minutes, and I'm already at 30 minutes just because I've gotten long-winded, as usual. But this, I just see this as a very serious time in our nation right now. And I don't know, I know Rabbi Rick and I have a lot of fun in the afternoon show, and today's not going to be a lot of fun, but it's, we have to laugh because we're just disgusted. And it's going to be a dark time, I think, moving forward here. So, I'm not even sure how long this podcast will last. At some point, I think they're going to start coming after even this kind of media because they've gone after everything else. You know, Google has taken over and you're not going to be able to find this podcast anymore probably or something. I don't know. The issue today is that the Senate would have to vote on Ted Cruz's thing. And I don't see enough senators coming forward for that. Now, this leads me into the way the Senate is changing. So we have Loeffler and Perdue potentially losing. Last night, ballot counters decided that they were tired and needed to go home and take a break around 11 o'clock. I think it was even before 11 o'clock. I think they started, wrapping things up. When I went to bed last night, Loeffler and Perdue were ahead. Woke up this morning. I don't know when they started counting ballots again. I'm assuming they never stopped. But there was a ballot dump again last night in a couple counties. And guess what? Arnoff, or whatever his name is, he's claiming victory right away. Last night, when Loeffler was ahead, they said it was too close to call. As soon as Arnoff got ahead, as soon as there was one vote over, he was the winner. They were declaring him the winner. In fact, they're already declaring Ossoff the winner in the Perdue that election, in that runoff. So that's razor thin. Everybody keeps saying no. Perdue's still ahead. I mean, it's so close that it's like we're just in with dozens of votes. Now the military has until Friday to get all of their votes in, and there's an estimated 17,000 votes there that are still pending. It could be potentially come through yet. I'm sure those will all be Democrat votes, and if they're not, they'll be shredded. It's just my opinion. It's at the point where I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get those military votes and never made it in there. Now 17,000 votes is enough to change some things, and then when it's this close they had 3.7 million votes, I think, which is ridiculous because they had registered 7.7 million people, in last I heard in Georgia. I think they actually got it up to 7.8 million. Yeah, I'm drinking some more hot chocolate. So, this is what ends up happening is last night, yesterday, during the day, in three major Republican counties, very heavily Republican, all three counties, the voting machines crashed. They went down. Oh, well, we're sorry. These machines have gone down. It's going to take a couple hours to get these fixed. So why don't you go ahead and fill out your ballot and just leave it here with us, and we'll run these through when we get the machine fixed. That's what they did. Again, this is not the first time this has been done. And now, if you're busy, if you got a busy life, if you got stuff to do, if you got work to go to, kids to take care of, whatever you got, you don't have time to hang around and to wait for the machine to get fixed. And this happened before. It also happened in Arizona, I believe. The machine goes down. They want you to fill out a ballot. Just leave it there. I don't understand. I know some places are different than others. Some places you go in and you do a little computer thing, and then it prints out a ballot. You look at the ballot, you take it over to the tabulator, and you run it through the tabulator. Now, the problem is the tabulator. In my opinion, that's where the problem is. It's not the voting machine or the ballots themselves. It's the way the thing's tabulated. It's how it's counting those votes, because that they're not letting us audit those. Then you've got issues of if you hand fill out the ballot, and then it gets run through. Well, if they give you a ballot that's made for a Republican, that props it up for adjudication. Adjudication in a room where they're not letting anybody view. This is documented yesterday. There were people doing adjudication in areas where they were not allowing poll watchers to watch. They were also not allowing poll watchers in the building because they were... It's the same thing, blocking them out. Dude, how in the world, with the entire nation watching, they're getting away with exactly the same thing? And here's why. Because the media is literally playing cover and running cover for all these people. Here's another interesting event that took place. And I'm sorry, this is a kind of a long video. I'll try to do my best to maybe fast forward to this. I might even play it at a higher speed.
It's so close. It's almost
here's
as high
Wolf
right
Blitzer.
Now. 98% of the vote is in.
This is last night.
Right now. I want to bring in Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
Rottenberger.
Who's watching this as closely as anyone. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for everything you and all your colleagues in Georgia are doing. But right now,
thank you so much.
Outstanding votes based
he's
on
just
what
so
you're
grateful.
Hearing, Secretary, are there in Georgia right now?
We believe that the total vote will probably be pushing 4.6 million. And when you think we had 5 million that just showed up in November, it's just tremendous turnout.
4.6 million.
So there's still a significant number of potential votes. Are most of those outstanding votes based on what we're seeing in those Democratic-leaning counties in and around Atlanta, where the Democrats clearly have
huge advantages? Till the end to count the Democrat counties?
Well, there will be a lot from those areas, but also it'll be just statewide, some nationally ballots that need to be, you know, scanned in and tabulated. So we'll have a lot of those results probably done by tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have a better idea of where this all goes. It's very close, as you can see.
So what is your sense right now, Mr. Secretary? How does it look for the Republicans? And I know you're a Republican. And how does it look for the two
Democrats? They keep making it known that he's a Republican, because that's supposed
it's
to give him some
close.
Kind of credibility.
I know one thing, a lot of people are looking for that mail coming in on Friday for those 17,000 military ballots. That'll be very important.
Are they just military ballots or other ballots as well, other kinds of ballots?
Well, it's overseas. It's military and overseas ballots. Deadline is 5 p.m. on Friday.
So 17,000, although it could be less, but that's potentially the maximum amount of those ballots coming in from overseas. Mr. Secretary John King is correct. With us. He wants to discuss with you as well.
Yeah, I want to come back, Mr. Secretary, and again, thank you for your work. Not
thank
only
you
today,
for your work.
In recent weeks, but back to November. I know it's been a trying time for you and your family and for the state. We appreciate your integrity.
We appreciate your integrity.
Do you think the universe will be 4.6 million in this runoff?
Yeah, we were at last number.
That's all I wanted to. It's at the end again. Wolf gives him another glowing review of how incredible he is and how much integrity he has. On and on and on and on. I guarantee if this guy was running in office against a Democrat, he would be the worst slime ball in the world. And part of me makes me wonder if this guy's, you know, if these guys have some kind of deal with the Democrat Party to get away with this kind of stuff and to do what they're doing, because they know that if they play nice with the Democrats, that the media will be nice to them, they'll be reelected, they'll stay in office, they'll keep their jobs, and their life will go much smoother because they fear that resistance. Got news for you guys. Here's one of the parts that about this whole thing that kind of disturbs me, and I think that I'm not sure it would have made a difference or not. I don't know if it made a difference or not. There was a movement out there to keep people from the polls because they thought that by not showing up to vote, it was going to crash the Dominion algorithms because they would end up with negative votes. If nobody showed up on the Republican side to vote, that the Dominion machines would show themselves because it would all of a sudden show that there was negative votes for the other candidate, for the Republican candidates. That is not necessarily how this works. I think that's based on ignorance in terms of the people understanding how the fix gets done. Last night, when they took the pause, that's when they estimate where everything's at, and they make the corrections that they need to make, and everything happens from there. The lack of if nobody would have showed up to vote, they would have simply let the machines go and let them do their thing, and they wouldn't have touched anything. The algorithm is changeable on the fly. When the machines break down or when they have a little issue with them and they go in and they do something with a thumb drive or they go in and reprogram something, or if it is connected to the internet through a thermostat, people have been able to break through these things by hacking into a thermostat and getting in the networks. So they can get in and change the algorithm on the fly. This is not something that has to happen prior, you know, physically someone being there to do this. If it's hooked up to the internet, anything can be changed. Of course, their argument is, well, it's not hooked up to the internet, even though there are people, credible people, saying, yeah, it was hooked up to the internet. There's no question, because you get signal issues and stuff, and there's stuff saying things. They're putting the narrative out there that the media can pick up what and say what they want to say, giving them the fodder that they need so that they can kind of make everybody sound like they're an idiot. So this has been a long show, and it's been a difficult show for me because it's been hard to see what's happening. Now, Rabbi Rick's going to be here a little bit later. I think around 3:00 Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be doing the recording. If anybody wants to get in, here's the way I think we're going to best do any kind of call-ins, or anybody that wants to call in or text in. If you want to call or text or be on the line with us on the show, you can text your questions. We'll read those. You can call and leave a message, and we'll play the message, and then we'll answer the call. If you want us to call you in real time and be on the line, what you can do is text us your name and phone number, or you can email, or you can send us your email as well. We'll send you an email, and we'll let you know. We'll try to give you a heads up as when we're going to call you, and then we'll put you in the queue. We'll call you, put you in the queue, and then we'll bring you on the show when we're producing it, and we'll try to give you some kind of idea when that's going to happen. But the number is 574-742-6748, 574-742-6748. Now, feel free to give me a call, and you can, or just send me a text, and we will try to let you know when we're going to call you to put you in the call. So I think that's the best way to handle this. Rather than trying to take a live call not really screen it, just to bring you into the queue, rather than just having a call come on cold. So That's the plan. Text that number, 574-742-6748. If you can, put TNA to me at the top of the text. That way we know it's pertaining to that. That way it's not just spam. And we will do our best to put you on air, or I will do it in the morning. And you might want to let us know what the best time to call is, that we can kind of work around that as well. But because right now we don't have that many callers, don't have that many people messaging. So it'd be, you know, we can kind of customize that for now when that starts to pick up, and I'm sure it will, that we may not always be able to do that kind of luxury thing, kind of be able to arrange our schedule around your call. So once again, thanks for listening this morning. Thanks for sharing this podcast. Thanks for being a part of it. And thanks for just taking the time out of yours. I know you have a long schedule, long day. I know you guys all work hard. Do your thing. Really appreciate you. God bless you. And whether you agree with me or not, I appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. And, that's about all I got to say. We'll be back producing the show about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Should be out on the webs, on the nets, on the inners, out there in the ether sometime around... probably before 5 o'clock this evening. Hopefully that's our plan, is to get it out there before the drive time home. So that's for those of you who are still working, unless you're shut down somewhere. But so, yeah, thanks again for being here. God bless you. Have a great day. It is a Wednesday, and, hey, it's still Wednesday. We'll get through this together. All right. That's all for now.
More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe, because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe, because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me.